welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life changed through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace. Today, our guest is Jason Beck. I loved hearing Jason's story because I'll mention it in the episode. I have watched it from a couple of pews back for many years, being here at Grace with him and his wife Ashley, and just kind of like had this peripheral view of their life and what I thought it was. So it's always cool to see something like that and go a deeper level. So Jason shares his story with us, and really a summary is, I mean, I'm sitting before this humble man just sharing how much his family means to him, how much his career means to him, how much this church means to him, and all of those are things he gets to do. The smile on his face the entire time as he shared the highs and the lows, but there was definitely a glow that we know can only come from the Lord. Enjoy Jason's story. Welcome to the recording studio, Jason.
Thanks.
Excited to have you here. I feel like you are a friendly and frequent face right around here at Grace Church. Seeing you on stage behind our music team, seeing you in the lobby. And actually, for me, I've seen you since you were a youngster. I mean, not a youngster, really, just like a young adult, you know, new perspective back in the day. I'm sure we'll touch on that, so I don't want any spoilers. But like, I feel like I like sat behind you in the pews for so long. And so I'm getting excited to meet you more deeply here.
Yeah, it's fun. When we first met, we would have been sitting in what's now the lobby, right? Mm-hmm. They were in the middle of building the new auditorium. So yeah,
good stuff.
It was a while ago.
Couple years, couple gray hairs ago too. So
yeah,
good stuff. Well, let's rewind it back though. Tell me about your childhood and where you grew up.
All right. Yeah, I was born at Barberton Hospital, and then we lived in Doylestown initially, and then in Norton real soon after there. So I started going to Norton, I think, in kindergarten.
Grace?
Norton, the schools there.
Okay,
yep,
gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
And so when I was younger, my parents weren't really connected to a church or anything. I think my grandparents on my dad's side were Catholic, so there was some knowledge of religion there, mm-hmm. and my mom grew up in West Virginia, so I think there was some working knowledge of religion there, but we didn't attend or anything.
Okay.
So when my sister and I were young, my aunt ended up taking us to First Baptist Church in Barberton.
Mm-hmm.
So, the timeline's a little fuzzy for me. We were little, I don't know, maybe not toddlers, but somewhere shortly thereafter, mm-hmm. maybe my sister. But anyways, we started going there, and my parents, I think, out of just wanting to be good parents, came to check it out as well. And so that was kind of like just the start of exposure mm-hmm. to church back then, which was probably, I don't know, somewhere in the mid-80s.
Okay.
I was just a little kid.
Felt boards, Noah's Ark, like Sunday school kind
yes,
of stuff
yeah,
for you?
Totally. Yes, yeah, totally. Sunday school. I think the Baptist church was great at that. Like, the services were pretty traditional, but the child care was geared really well towards children, and they were great at teaching the Word of God accurately, right?
Mm,
so
okay.
It was a good foundation, and I think early on, God just got a hold of my heart as a child, and I think he was just after me, you know?
Okay.
And so I couldn't tell you when I accepted the Lord,
yeah.
but I was young, and
yeah.
then baptized there. There was a pastor that we really love, great pastor, and the way I guess pastoral leadership changes in some other churches, they like go out and actively look for a pastor, kind of like a campaign. Not that we wouldn't do that, but
mm-hmm.
we're blessed by this
mm-hmm.
organic process mm-hmm. that God is using here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we're intentionally
yeah.
developing leaders, but we're
yeah.
so spoiled
right.
With great leadership. Anyways, so I got to be baptized when I was 7 by this pastor who we loved and was leading the church at the time there and stuff before he was heading out to, I guess, take over another church
yeah,
or do something else. So,
uh-huh.
so anyways, I have a lot of fond memories early on there that just, it was a good Bible foundation starting out and just watching my parents kind of come along on that journey. And I really don't remember this very well. I have a terrible memory in general, but but I know they showed up and were excited about Jesus and accepted him. And
you were there as like an excited participant as a kid,
yeah.
not like, oh, mom and dad are dragging me. You like, you
yeah,
wanted to be
right,
there. Yeah,
right, right. And
feeling it.
Really my aunt had taken us there first, so they were kind of coming along behind that and then kind of growing into their leadership as spiritual parents as we were all kind of growing and learning to love the Lord. So,
what a magical thing for your aunt to get to experience that too, because I'm guessing she would have been praying for that in
yeah.
some form.
Yeah, it's really neat when I think back, because mm-hmm. I don't know that we had, I kind of like I mentioned, we didn't have a real solid foundation on either side, but mm-hmm. it's neat that God kind of intervened in our family's story there and got a hold of us.
Changed the trajectory.
Yeah, and my parents do go to the Norton campus now. Oh, cool. So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's cool.
Nice. So your childhood, you're making decisions based on, you know, what you know of God's will, and you're living for him. Like, are you in school groups, or was this like a, you know, compartmentalized thing? What did that look like as you were growing up?
Yeah, I wish I could remember real well. You know, really? I've tried to remember how it all played out, but I know we were active at church a lot and involved there, and school was like almost another thing. Like, I do school, but we're involved in the church. And I guess I remember doing a lot of things at First Baptist Church, like helping as I got a little bit older with the vacation Bible school we would do, or, you know, whatever other programs were going mm-hmm. on. Kind of, I mean, I was still only finishing middle school and going into high school mm-hmm. at this point, but kind of trying to help at whatever age range mm-hmm. I was in there.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. And so what was interesting after this, though, is I kind of I don't know. I had so much knowledge about Jesus and certainly loved him, had accepted him, but I don't know. As high school approached, I was probably not ultra focused on how to live for the Lord at that mm-hmm. point. I think I was just kind of existing, living in life. So I was involved in band all through from like fifth grade on. And then as high school started, I was in marching band, or had joined marching band as a mm-hmm. freshman, which I was real excited about all along. I was like a band nerd,
yeah,
you know, that was
like
me, totally.
Dream right there to hit that, okay.
Yeah. And so I guess my focus was probably going a little more towards like the school world, and I was becoming a little less focused on what mm-hmm. the Lord was doing in my life or wanted to do in my life.
Yeah.
And so I remember after my freshman year, it was summer, there was some sort of band party that was going on that I really don't know what would have gone on, but it certainly probably was not as wholesome as hanging out with people who love the Lord, right? And so probably selfishly, I wanted to go and do something fun. And mm-hmm. a while back, my friend who lived on the same road as us, who was the son of a pastor of another church, he had invited me to some youth event, and I guess I turned it down. I kind of honestly just dismissed it because it was the same time as this other thing mm-hmm. I wanted to do. And the band gathering, my friends from band, that got canceled. And so, again, real selfishly, right, I like didn't want to have nothing to do. So I'm like, hey, are you still going to this mm-hmm. thing? So we go, and I remember even, I was a little bit bold. I like to probably run my mouth too much at times, so I try to temper that as I've gotten older, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember even asking the youth pastor there, like, when are we going to do the games and stuff? Because they had their own programming mm-hmm. and whatever going on. And they're like, all right, we're going to study, you know, do a little Bible study and pray, and then we'll get to that stuff. Well, it was, I mean, God just showed up. It was probably a night, one of the main single nights of my life that changed my life.
Whoa. Okay, give it to me.
Yeah. So I don't even remember what the Bible study was on, but we started spending time in prayer, and it was so different than anything I had ever experienced in the Baptist church. You know, I mean, I think prayer was like this communication with God, but it was sometimes a little stoic, or just, or even in like a Baptist service, at least in my experience, it was very scripted, you know, we're gonna say these words, yeah. We're gonna pray this
response
prayer.
Response prayers, things like that,
yeah.
Reading along.
And I think people there really genuinely love the Lord, but that is the way they conducted mm-hmm. church, and so that was fine. But this was just different. It was just very conversational, mm-hmm. very, we're just gonna let God lead what's going on here. So we spent time in prayer, and I just remember God just, like, got a hold of my heart that night in a new way, and maybe, I don't know, certainly when we accept the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, but I think that it was a deeper relationship.
Yes.
It was a stronger connection where I'm like, oh, God wants to lead the intricate parts of my life, mm-hmm. right? He, like, wants to be with me. And I guess I was still young. I mean, I'm 14 at this point, so mm-hmm. it's not like I had any life maturity behind me, but
right.
I'm like, all right,
it's like new level unlocked. You're like playing World of Warcraft, you're like new level unlocked, right? Like, it's, you
right.
know, that's okay. There's a maturing in that process. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was great. And then what was interesting after this is I had a ton of interest in going to church and being plugged in, but not the church my parents were at. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to them, and they were always really trusting of me and let me make some life choices mm-hmm. of my own. Mm-hmm. And so at 14, I started going to church with my neighbor, and his parents would drive me to mm-hmm. you know, church. And so I basically just started going to my own church separate from my parents at the beginning of high school, mm-hmm. which I thought that was amazing because they really, especially because they had invested in showing up at First Baptist to see like, hey, what are our kids doing? What are they doing here? And now they're going to trust me to take this step, mm-hmm. you know, maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 years later to mm-hmm. go my own way or
whatever. I'm like thinking through how I would feel. My son is 14. So mm-hmm. if he said that to me, I'm like thinking about what that would have felt like as a mom. And I don't know if I would have played the card the same way your mom did. I'd be like, I want to control this and keep you with me. So that's really great they did that.
Yeah, I'm always impressed by how they have let me choose a path. I mean, with guidance and stuff, obviously.
Right, of course. Well, and
parenting, but
am I going to this church or that church? That's different than like, am I going to a party or am I going to like, you know, something like that.
Right.
Two good choices, basically. Okay, so what did life look like after that?
So I really was just totally invested in what God was doing there. And the youth pastor at the time, his name was Marv, and he kind of just took me under his wing and started teaching me more about the Bible and I guess just really looking after me and my friends, you know? Mm-hmm. So I met at this youth group was another guy named Ricky Miller. So I met him mm-hmm. when I was, you know, around 14 there. Mm-hmm. And so we became good friends, and he and I don't know, we just had a great friendship. I loved what we had, mm-hmm. especially growing up through high school and stuff. And so mm-hmm. we were kind of growing in the Lord together, and I met some other friends who are still good friends now through that church. Mm-hmm. And so I was there another, I guess I would to lay kind of the overall foundation, I was probably in the Baptist church around 10 years, something like that. And then I was in these other churches that were a little more charismatic for about 10 years. And then Grace has been like the last 20. So that's mm-hmm. kind of like how I divide up the flow of this. So after some time, I graduated high school. I was still there. And I went into college, and I started kind of accidentally Air Force ROTC. So my counselor there was, I don't know, she knew that I was interested in political science. She's like, why don't you try this aerospace class? And it was maybe not totally clearly explained, but I showed up and realized, oh, okay, this is like legitimately the military pathway. So mm-hmm. obviously I didn't go there or I wouldn't be here. But but for 2 years I was involved in ROTC. And so I guess I bring that up to say, like, there was like a big divide in the middle of like halfway through college, life really changed a lot. Okay. So for the first half, I was involved in this other church I'd been going to for a while and kind of doing the ROTC thing in college. And I got halfway through and I felt like God was really clearly like showing me to not go down the military path. Mm-hmm. And I have the utmost respect for mm-hmm. our military. I mean, I'm so grateful for them. And it also was never a dream of mine. I mm-hmm. kind of landed in this world mm-hmm. that, and I was having a fair amount of success in it and in college, but I was like, I remember the, like, God put in my mind at that moment, it was Peter and Jesus, like, telling him to get out of the boat. It was, like, very clearly, like, mm-hmm. the feeling or image I had. I don't know. It's not like God spoke to me audibly or anything, sure. but, like, it was a clear, like, okay, trust me, get mm-hmm. out of the boat. And so I did, and I feel like that was the start of probably about 14 difficult years of life. I mean, I'm not totally in a bad way, but I don't know that after my sophomore year of college until 2014 that I really had a good solid stretch of career success.
Okay.
So if I look at like my student career, if you will, to vocational career, I like struggled for those times. I mean, I finished college, and that wasn't the...
What did you end up majoring in?
So my degree is in political science, okay. and then I have some minors in criminal justice and political conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So
political
it was good.
Conflict, we can major in that? That's
so it
very
was a new. It was a new program when I was... I can't remember which year in college it actually started, but it was actually ended up with a certificate in political conflict instead of like...
So they taught you how to... Did they teach all these people how to have political conflict? Because that would make sense to me, is
right,
that people
right.
are being taught how to.
I think things were more cordial back then, and no, it was about just trying to probably navigate through that. And they were experimenting with some different things. You couldn't actually get a bachelor's in criminal justice at the University of Akron at that time. So most of us who were interested in criminal justice were on like the political science path with minors in criminal justice. So
got it.
That was me.
Okay. So then what did you do? You said that there is a jumping around with these careers and such. What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So I had a good, actually right about that time, I started working for Copley Fairline City Schools in IT back then. And so I was kind of working part-time in college and stuff. And it was a fine gig. I enjoyed it, but IT wasn't probably like my main what I wanted to do out of life. So I ended up staying there when I finished college just because it was a good job. And so I worked there for a little while until some layoffs in 2007. And that's when I kind of was like, okay, well, now what am I going to do with my life? And like, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know? So, but let me back up, because in the midst of all this, there was more, I guess, God things going on and maybe some other challenges. So in the middle of college, when I got out of ROTC, I also switched churches to another church. It was not a terrible situation, but part of the church ended up going, you know, going a separate way. So that's fine. So we went over to another church that was meeting in Akron, and then after some time moved up to Montrose, like right by Best Buy up there. There was a church building there. We were in there. And I always had this just desire to reach the community. I don't know. I just wanted to be in a church that was great at being, I don't know, a light into the community and effective at reaching them. And I liked what we were doing as a church, and I liked the people I was around, and certainly was walking with the Lord and stuff. But I felt always had that desire for the church to be better at outreach, but I never knew what it really looked like. And I don't know that I could figure it out. I'm not great at starting things. I wouldn't say like, I am, if you give me a group and some resources and stuff, I'm like, yes, I totally know what to do. But if you're like, here's nothing, make something of it, and I'm not good at that.
A lot of times when you have an idea, like, we really need to be reaching the community, they're like, great, now you're in charge of that. You know, like, you telling us what to do, we're going to tell you you're in charge of it. So that would not have been a great situation.
Right. I think that is a struggle, like, just growing up in all small churches. I never totally knew what to do with a lack of resources. I just struggle with that. I don't know. I'm like, and even in this midst of trying to find a career at one point, I'm like trying. Ricky and I actually tried to start a construction company. He had great knowledge in that, and I had the administrative know-how, but we just didn't know what we were doing, you know? And I don't know. But if I had a larger team and some resources, I'm like, okay, I know what to do.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I love that about being here. I love that we have teams and people who are committed to reaching people for Jesus. It's cool. I guess even before college, I should say, in 1999, I was a senior. That was like 99, 2000, my senior year at Norton.
Did you graduate in 2000?
Yeah.
Me too, Air 5.
All right, awesome.
First of the century.
So I ended up going to a Bible study. There used to be a little cafe in Norton called Cafe 4111, which I don't know what verse that refers to. It does. It's totally, refers to a Bible verse of some sort. But there was this guy connected to the Norton campus teaching there whose name was Jeff Bogue.
Oh,
so
I've heard that name before.
How interesting, right? So I was attending there. Christy Keir was in, Christy Varga was, this Bible study back in. And some other people, I'm sure, names, Bethany, at any rate. It doesn't matter. The laundry list of names doesn't matter. But it was a cool time because I was still connected to another church but was attending this Bible study with some friends from Norton and other people. And so I didn't end up landing here till 2006, but it was a cool, seven years before.
You just looked up and you're like, I know that guy? Yeah. Or did you know he was the head pastor at that time?
I think I put it together at some point because he was still, he would have been the youth pastor, but they were about to launch like that right at the end of that year here. So I remember walking through this building. We're up at the Gent Road location here, but I remember walking through it before church really kicked off one time, like they had the Bible study group meet up here. And I'm like, it's kind of nostalgic when I think back because I didn't actually end up ever going to church here for a handful more years. Yeah. So, but anyways, I thought it's cool how God kind of
that's crazy.
Sews the story, little threads of the story together as time goes along. So, anyways, so halfway through college, I felt like life got harder. And so when I finished college, I was still working in IT, then got laid off from there. And so I was kind of just trying to figure out what to do. And I ended up replacing you here, doing some stuff at the church, yeah. but just part-time at that point, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yeah.
And then I worked for some other people who went to Grace, generous, you know, business owners mm-hmm. who let me kind of try some different industries, one in financial planning, one in manufacturing. But I just never hit my stride, yeah. you know. It just was a tough time career-wise because I, like, wanted to be ready. I always wanted to have a family, wanted to get married and have kids. And I'm like, I'm responsible to provide, and I can't get my, like, career legs underneath yeah, me like here in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I always wondered, like, would I do full-time ministry? But it never sat, or at least to this point in life, has not totally sat perfectly with me. I did end up later, in 2013, working here full-time in communications, which was a good fit, mm-hmm. and I loved, and then God changed that quickly. But mm-hmm. At any rate, one awesome thing that happened here after I started was Ashley started coming here mm-hmm. In 2007. I think she started going to New Perspective. So when I showed up here in 2006, I got involved real quickly with Tony Lavigne mm-hmm. and New Perspective, which was the young adult yes. ministry name at the yep. time, right?
Pastor Tony, who's now over at Medina.
Yep.
If anybody listening remembers those days or doesn't, then that's who he's talking about there, that Tony used to run the young adult ministry, which now Josiah would be in charge of it for an equivalent. So,
yeah, totally.
Just a little history lesson.
So I got involved kind of there, and leading up to even landing here, I guess I'm really doing a bad job of being chronological here, but
that's okay.
There was after some other maybe hardships with another church, that church I was going to in Montrose, I kind of went into this period of time where I was just helping friends at other churches. Like, I wanted a church home, but I'm playing drums at St. Luke's, which is where the Montrose building is,
yeah.
once a month, helping them out. I was playing up at a church towards Cleveland with Seth and Sarah Tonkar, who go to the Medina campus now, which
cool.
is cool. But at any rate, it was a period, it was like a year on top of all the other things. Life just felt hard for that period of time or whatever. Mm. And I remember Ricky invited me. They had started coming to the Bath campus here, or Grace North, as I guess it would have been turned back
oh,
then,
really?
Right?
Oh, really? They called it that?
Yeah. It used to be North and South, right?
Huh.
With this
I
one, North. And
at any rate.
But yeah, so he was coming up here to the Bath campus and invited me. And I remember I came in May of 2006 and walked through the door the first day and was just like, this is home. Mm-hmm. It just was so clear to me. So I started coming to New Perspective right away then mm-hmm. and got connected. But I needed to finish out through basically through the end of July some other commitments I made on mm-hmm. worship schedules and stuff. So once I did land here, it was awesome. It was just a breath of fresh air, just like, God has me here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so fast forward to another year later, Ashley showed up here, and mm-hmm. we didn't really talk for the first year at all. She's 7 years younger than me, so she was, like, much closer to just be finishing high school.
Yeah.
I think, like, in 2007, she graduated. So she
Whoa.
Was, like, younger than me
okay.
significantly.
So many things are making more sense in my head right now. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So, I mean, I guess 7 years isn't a lot, but in that time
that's,
in life,
yes.
yes, it feels like a
yes.
lot. So another year goes by. Not like that's a lot of time, but I ended up asking her out on a NP, the drive back from an NP retreat. I think it had to be the spring retreat uh-huh. in 2008. And so I remember I said to her in the van, if you ever want to go out sometime, I'd be all about it. And so I don't have a good memory, but that phrase to me is just such a ridiculous thing to say to another human being.
Like it's in the script of a movie that was written, like a,
right.
probably a bad rom-com, you know?
Right, right. So anyways, didn't really work at first, I wouldn't say. So I asked her out a few more times. I was trying to, get her to commit to a time, and she
yeah.
just was not interested. But finally, she gave me the time of day,
yeah.
and
I feel like I kind of mentioned earlier watching you guys from a couple of pews back. Like I literally feel like I did that because she's just such a bright, bubbly, bouncing around person, right? You can't, and she's beautiful. So I'm like looking at this young woman and like, who's she? And that's, I knew new perspective people, right? And some of them were my age because like we realizing we're the same age, but I was already married and like gearing up for kids. So we weren't in the new perspective world. We went straight into life groups. So I didn't connect with that group, but you were there and Ashley was there and all these different people. And I kind of feel like I watched you guys get closer and closer to sitting together. And then one day it just seemed like, oh, they seem like they're actually together now. But literally I'm like watching this like a soap opera, like eating popcorn a couple rows back from you guys.
That's so funny. Shauna Kim actually just reminded me a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even remember this, even though I think she's told me before, but apparently when I met Ashley, I was playing drums on the worship team that weekend, and I came back into the green room and was like, said something like, oh, I met this really great girl. And so Shauna has remembered that to this day and reminded me. But
your love is visible all around. So cute. Well, apparently not quite in the early days when you were all about it, but she got there.
Right. So it was just cool to see our relationship unfold. We're definitely both strong-willed people and bumped heads a lot, probably still do to some degree, but what came through over the years of dating and I don't know, it was a little bit of a bumpy ride at different times, but ultimately I think we just saw that God had put us together and really gave us a shared vision for life. I don't know. It's like we both wanted four kids. She had a desire to stay home and, you know, really invest her life into these children and helping them love the Lord. And just so many other things. It's hard to even probably quantify the depth of, I look at our relationship and I'm like, God really put this thing together. On like a deep level, we want the same things out of life. And I'm just grateful for that because even though we can certainly disagree and maybe aren't always the most natural fit of people, you know, personality wise, we can conflict a little bit. But I'm like, when it comes to the things that matter, and I guess I don't want to paint a bad picture. I think we have a great marriage and get along so well. And it's gotten easier as we've gotten a little older and probably both matured a little bit and stuff. But with the stuff that matters, just watching how much we want to invest in the kingdom and where we're at on that and just hosting people and trying to be generous with our time and resources. Yeah. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for what God did. So
here's a quick lesson. I just learned it. Well, I relearned it because you have to kind of hear these things a few times. But in Genesis, when God is working on man, working on woman, all that stuff, and this is like a Jewish rabbi that's teaching this lesson that I'm learning, the language around this humankind is equivalent to gently opposing man and woman, that they were gently opposing. And what that looks like is like if you had two by fours and you leaned them against each other, the opposing is actually holding each other up. And through that, they hold one another up. Okay. However, there's a gentle opposition to that. You're not, you know, on this, you know, if you were both standing over here, you'd topple over.
Sure.
But that's how God designed us to be. So it sounds like you're like lockstep with that, you know, that you're having those differences and those personalities that you were given by God and using them together to hold one another up.
Yeah.
Cool picture.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a good lesson. So Ashley has been great in kind of just being a great supporter in that. And I hope that I do the same for her, but I'm thinking back through kind of some of the things that unfolded here. After a few years here, I was still kind of trying to figure out what to do career-wise. I'm like, okay, now I am in a serious relationship and it's still, you know, not coming together. And it's, God can take care of us and will. And I also know that as a man and a leader in my household and family that I need to provide. And so I guess it was always a serious thing. Like I almost don't think about it now, but as I was kind of going through and thinking about history and preparing for this, I'm like, man, that was so heavy. Mm-hmm. It was such a heavy feeling in that time of life to want to honor God by doing a great job, being excellent in a career and struggling to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And so I totally empathize with any young men or women who are in that place because it's hard. Like it's nice that I'm not looking for a girlfriend. It's nice that I like know where for the most part my life is headed until God throws a curveball at me again, I'm sure. But that young adult season of life is difficult.
So you're smiling right now as you tell this story. Was it dark for you? Was it like, was there anguish within that? Or were you a pretty positive guy that just kept looking for the next opportunity? How did that feel for you?
I think it was both. I was surrounded by great people. Like Tony was a great voice of wisdom mm-hmm. in my life. Seth, who I mentioned earlier, outstanding wisdom. Ricky got married real early and mm-hmm. had kids. So he also had a great perspective, and some other of my friends, Josh and Denny and mm-hmm. others mm-hmm. Who are in and around connected to various campuses of yeah. Grace, which is so cool to see. They all were very encouraging and supportive as I walked through this season of life. And it was heavy. And at the same time, I was getting to do some really great things. I was not tied down to being at home, taking care of kids in that mm-hmm. season of life. And mm-hmm. so Ashley and I were both able to be really involved in New Perspective and mm-hmm. in on the worship band and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that time, and I hope that I used it well, because like I'm not really that old yet, I don't think. I'm 43 now, but I'm also
we're staying
like
strong, man. We're staying strong. We're right in that middle. Yeah, hold on.
But I'm like, time is fleeting. Like all this yeah. time that has passed, it's like this last 40 years of church experience, mm-hmm. whatever that looked like, hopefully I spent it well, because mm-hmm. it's gone now, right? Yeah. And so like now I look at where I'm at now and want to invest well in this season. I just look different, mm-hmm. you know? But thinking back to, I don't know, not that you or anyone would remember this, but there was a real short time in 2009 when I went up to another church plant.
Remember that. Okay, did we commission you for that?
I know. Ezra kind of made a big thing out of it on stage, which I was an honor and I so appreciate. And then I'm like, well, God, now I'm back a couple months later. This is embarrassing.
I remember that. Well, I just remember seeing you and being like, wait a minute. And I was hoping you'd clarify that here, because I'm like, am I even remembering that? Because yes. It's obviously a blip in the way back of my memory. Yep. But I was pulling that out of the archives and thinking, yep. Whatever happened with that? So you went up somewhere north, but then it wasn't a long-term thing.
Yeah, it felt like a good opportunity. I was always trying to pursue both music and worship and Jesus and trying to figure out what any of that looked like. So I went up there and it was great. I think they were, I really don't know at current update or anything, but it was a great thing they were doing. I think we just got up there. I'm like, this isn't our home. Mm-hmm. And so Ashley's just following me around through mm-hmm. all this, you know, like the wonderfully mm-hmm. supportive person she is. And so we ended up, after just a few months, I think we went up there in January, and by June, we were back here this is 2009, I think. So mm-hmm. When I got back here, I started actually, we were talking about before we started, Rick Perrin. So I started meeting with Rick Perrin when I came back here, another great, just awesome, awesome person. He and Bob Martinez, who, is he at Akron East? I don't know which campus he's at
now. I do believe. So that sounds right, yes.
Okay. At any rate, Bob was always on the worship team, yeah. and Rick was always around, and just outstanding men of God, mm-hmm. always just speaking truth.
For anybody listening, Rick Perrin has an episode as well, so after you're done with Jason's, rewind back for, a couple months and hit Rick's as well.
Yeah, it's just great.
A little plug there.
It's just full of wisdom, like yes. he's just teaching like you about God the whole time. So at any rate, we landed back here, and I've got a glance at this just because I'm moving all over.
So Rick Perrin and Bob Martinez are pouring into you.
Yeah, so, and Bob maybe a little less formally, just always, but I'd see him all the time. I was playing constantly on the worship team at this point, so it was awesome to be around. I guess I haven't brought Ezra up much yet, but not enough could be said about him either. Just such a great leader.
Yes.
I have so enjoyed the last 20 years of getting to be in the green room with him and talk to him, and God has just equipped him so uniquely. So I look around at all these men in our church, and I'm just blown away.
You just named what is it in Hebrews, like the Hall of Faith?
You
know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
I feel totally.
Like you just listed Grace Church's Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame in faith, you know?
Yeah, it is totally like that, because you're like, I don't
Tony,
have time to speak
Ezra,
of all these.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There's like, I could go on and on about all the amazing mm-hmm. people God has assembled here in this family. I think that is what's cool to me, too, is it was clear even by leaving for that brief time that this is my family. And not that God couldn't change that. And I think as we watch life groups or other small groups get big enough where you're like, actually, we need to multiply. Mm-hmm. We need to actually have another leader emerge and take these, you know, groups mm-hmm. into two. You're like, it hurts because you're like, well, I want to be yeah. with Earthing these people hurts, still. Yeah, yeah, right, right. but it's awesome because it's what we're called to, like, lay your life down for mm-hmm. others. It's take up your cross. And we talk about this in our, we just led a rooted group and now kind of converting into a life group nice. At this moment.
Awesome.
But we talk about this, take up your cross is like take up your electric chair or take up your shooting, you know, firing squad, mm-hmm. right? You're like, it's not, it was a very, we cross to us, I guess, is such a pretty little picture, like something you hang on the wall or wear around on a necklace, whoa. You know, but you're like, that's not really, when they said that in biblical times, mm-hmm. we're talking, they're thinking about the device of execution. And so you're, I don't know, I try to bring that in.
Yeah.
So
that's a context, like take what it was context for them now and apply it to today. That's
yeah.
studying the Bible, so figuring it out. That's an right. interesting, I never thought about it that way.
So, and I'm not suggesting that when a life group has to go, you know, two groups have to go a separate direction just for sheer logistics. It's mm-hmm. probably not that intense, but we do need to lay our rights down and mm-hmm. our desires and let the kingdom of God move along as he sees fit, and we get to be a part of mm-hmm. what's happening here.
I think you were in one of our children life groups back in the day, right, with the Nitzes?
Yes, yes,
so they
totally.
Burst out of our group, which was painful, and we missed them so, but we still, I mean, we're still so close with them, and there's a difference, right, when you're in that yeah. kind of community with somebody. You have a different level of relationship. Many times you can pick it back up right where you left off.
Yes.
And so for you to be in that, probably you got married when you were in that group.
Yeah, we must have started in the NITS life group in like 2013, and we got married the next year
yes.
in 14.
So. I remember that party. I mean, I didn't go to it, but I remember the effect of seeing it all around of all the people that were there. I was like, dang, that looked like fun.
Yeah, well, and by that group starting out of your group, it totally made the way for
yes.
us to join a group.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
It's a big deal.
That's true.
It's awesome. Yeah, the NITS life group was great. That was, we really got plugged into a group beyond New Perspective at
yes.
that point. So really up to that point, and I was already 24 when I started here, so I was not even in really the young adult group, kind of. I mean, in the middle of it, maybe,
sure.
Middle to end. And so we stayed in New Perspective for a few more years, mm-hmm. but really there probably came, as we approached our wedding and just kind of that I was aging out anyways. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it was kind of a natural, like, let's get involved in a life group.
Oh, and then NITS was just as much fun as New Perspective.
Totally.
So they kept it real,
yeah, they
real
fun,
fun. Youthful, for sure. So that was a really good transition for you guys.
Yeah.
We were having, everybody in my group was having babies at that time, so it's good that you went to our birthed group instead of ours. You wouldn't have liked it.
Right. We were not quite ready yeah. at that point. But,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So, yeah, I don't know. I talked about kind of, just when we got married, it was really neat to see that. I always wanted to, you know, find someone awesome who loved the Lord. In fact, I know my mom prayed probably my whole life for my spouse before
wow.
she ever knew who Ashley was or
absolutely.
Before I was even old enough to be thinking about getting married.
Yeah.
And so to watch that come together, I'm just like, thanks, Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome what you put together. So
mm-hmm.
I guess kind of moving on from there, we were in the NITS life group for a while, still real involved here. And so what did happen also in 2014 was that I finally landed in a career that kind of worked out for me.
So,
right. So I became a cop, which is, it's been a good job for me. I like
okay.
it a lot.
And that's what you kind of set out to do from college.
Totally. It was the thing I was always interested in.
Yeah.
When I took in high school, like the Moody Bible Institute, whatever, like the career test,
mm-hmm.
it was always like criminal justice, music, or ministry.
Does.
And so
all three words I would use to explain you.
Okay. So I landed in one of them. And so, anyways, kind of, I guess
I'd argue you landed in all three. Just one of them pays you.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
You know?
That's fair. That's
yeah.
a fair assessment.
Yeah.
So that's been good. I've just, I don't know, had a lot of favor there and, been able to kind of move up and succeed there. It's been good. It's providing
mm-hmm.
for my family well. I really enjoy my job. And
it sounds stressful though. Like, is there, you're still smiling. Like, you just seem so full of joy and everything. But I mean, my dad was a police officer. I know that there can be a lot of stress and strain and seeing things you can't unsee and all that. But it seems like maybe you've had a different path?
Yeah, I think that the foundation that God chose to give me for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, walking with him for some years before I started that career, probably helped me to just hopefully apply wisdom to mm-hmm. some degree to that career, to hopefully make good choices and mm-hmm. try to help people. It is weird. You kind of interact with almost everyone on the worst day of their life.
Oh, whoa. That's an interesting way to put it.
And so you try to help them, whoever you're dealing with, you give them the best of who you are. But I think hopefully the wisdom part of that is I cannot carry your burdens. It's probably really taught me, and I am probably not real empathetic to begin with, so mm-hmm. maybe this is more natural than I think, but I literally cannot carry everyone's burden that I interact with. And I'm not even on the road anymore. I'm in another role. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, I enjoyed working a car and mm-hmm. Helping people really directly. And now I kind of support that process, I guess. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, overall in my career, I'm just glad that God let me do something that provides for my family mm-hmm. well and that can make a decent living, I guess, mm-hmm. and have some time off to be mm-hmm. home doing what's actually important, mm-hmm. You know, loving and raising kids, which, so that's our current season of yes. life. Now here, this is where
goal
we're
achieved at. Four, check, from what I understand.
Yeah, so we had our first, which was Judah in 2018, and then kind of, they're about 2 years apart, Stevie, Zoe, and then Joseph was the latest addition in November of 2024. So,
oh my gosh, yeah, I feel like every time I see you guys, you've got another stroller, she's got somebody wrapped on her body, whatever that may be, man, you're juggling it.
It's great. I love it. This is my favorite thing I've done in life.
Oh
definitely.
My gosh, I love that statement.
The parenting is an honor. It's like, when the Bible says kids are a blessing, it is so true, and they are a very challenging blessing.
Still with a smile, he says.
But it's great. I actually, in preparing for this, I was just thinking about, I guess I think about Judah a lot because he's like at the front end of this. He's only seven, but I'm like, he's the one. I shouldn't even say that out loud, but we're learning. We're making all our mistakes with Judah. We're doing our best, right?
Hey, we all do. Judah, we apologize if you ever listen to this, but it's true. It happens to everybody.
Right. So, there are things I should never say out loud. I always think when I'm in the green room, Ezra's probably like, oh my goodness, Jason, yeah. Stop talking, right? But anyways, just getting to raise kids is so cool. And as I was preparing, this is what I was going to say. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about, Judah's going to sit here someday and be interviewed about the story of his life. And I don't know if it'll be mm-hmm. here at the Bath campus of Grace mm-hmm. Church or wherever God has mm-hmm. him. But I'm like, it's so cool because what I'm doing now, it doesn't really matter if the things that I have vision for or are excited about happen anymore. I'm like, my life is now about mm-hmm. investing in these little people and helping them love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's the win, regardless of where they go career-wise. And I pray for their spouses and their little mm-hmm. people, right? But they're going to, you know, they're going to move along in life Absolutely. Before I know it. And so I just want to hopefully do a good job pointing them to Jesus so that they get to do this too, right? Mm-hmm. That they get to have this lifelong walk with the Lord. It's strange to me that I don't remember any years of not knowing the Lord. And so I hope that's the case for them, mm-hmm. you know, and I get that that's not everyone's story, but it is mine. And I hope the same for them, that they never remember a time when they weren't faithfully walking with the
yes.
Lord.
I think it was either Ari Smith or Cubbins. Why can't I think of her first name? Amy Cubbins. One of them talked about in an episode, early exposure. And the gift that that is for children. And so you would have received that, right? You were talking about being a toddler when your aunt started taking you and you had that early exposure. And you were baptized at seven, although you had a lot of maturing opportunities to still be done. But to have that commitment as like an altar, a stamp, a marking point to say, I made this decision. I might be questioning right now or curious or confused or angry or whatever, but like, those things happened for me at a young age, and I grew up in the halls of the church, and I know that this is home and safe, and all of my stories are going to be intertwined in it because my parents gave me that gift of letting that be part of my life, and that's what I hope for my kids, and clearly it's been happening for your kids, and it's such a gift.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm excited to see them grow, and Judah wrote down in you know, something he did in Power Kids talking about, or maybe it was Game Day, I don't remember, but, you know, I remember him laying in bed and being afraid of the dark, and I give him the Proverbs, what is it, 56:3, I think, when I'm afraid, I'll trust in you, you know, and I'm like, and
yeah,
you is Jesus,
Proverbs. Right? It's just, it's yeah. the constant yeah. message.
Or Psalms, maybe it's Psalm 56:3, that's mm-hmm. probably more, that's probably right, but mm-hmm. I talked to him about, you know, that, and then he wrote on this paper, I don't know, probably 2 years later or something, like, I accepted Jesus, and how has that changed my life? I'm not afraid mm-hmm. at night anymore. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. I'm like, how cool that, like, mm-hmm. God is bringing freedom and his little childlike faith. I just love it. I love it.
And it draws out your childhood faith back again, too.
Yes.
It restores and rejuvenates our own souls as we witness that in our children. Oh, that's yeah. amazing.
It is really cool. So I guess when I look at where we're at now, it's I don't get to play drums as much, which is like totally probably the thing I'm one of the things I'm most passionate mm-hmm. about. You know, I just love leading worship. I love getting to be up there and help the church see Jesus and mm-hmm. just
feel it in their chest. That's what I feel like the drums bring. It helps you feel it in your chest when we're worshiping. So, oh, I love that. Thank you for all of your service there.
Yeah, well, I love it. I'm glad that God has given me this gifting, you know, mm-hmm. in both the technical skills of being able to play an instrument, but also just this gift of worship, I would say. I don't know. And I look at the other people in the band and just the passion to help the church connect with Jesus. It's just awesome. You know, and then I equally enjoy, you know, I do a little bit of photo and video stuff around here, mm-hmm. and I enjoy seeing it from the other side, just watching my friends up there getting a lead yes. and kind of taking the you know, the other side of the role. So it's really cool to see. But I guess, so the coolest thing going on right now, I would say, to maybe bring it up to the present, is we had been going at the start of this school year to, and I kind of still going there, but we were going to a life group to kind of help Judah solidify some godly friendship. And then Ezra asked me if I was interested in leading a rooted group, mm-hmm. and did basically a terrible job of pursuing that, doing anything with it. I think I finally talked to Nate in the 11th hour, and Sonny got me connected.
And they were like, yes, please, we need you.
Well, the team here is just great. They're like, oh, yeah, do you want to create a group in 2 days? Yeah, we can do that. So I'm like, all right. And so we had maybe three couples interested that we had kind of talked to and really Jeff and Laura McKendry were the ones who were probably really the reason we started a rooted group because mm. they asked us, hey, you doing this? And I'm like, well, maybe. And so we got it across the finish line. So we had three couples who were interested, and then the church paired us up with other couples who were, you know, looking for groups. Mm-hmm. And it all came together literally at the 11th hour, and then God just showed up.
Yes, he did. Tell me about it.
It was such a cool experience to lead rooted. You know, I think led a group back in New Perspective and mm-hmm. have been involved in other, I guess I wouldn't view myself as a stranger to leading any groups or anything, yeah. but going into this, I was just kind of like, all right, God, what, like, I feel like you're leading us to, or you are leading us to lead this group. And then you just watch people connect with Jesus mm-hmm. in such cool ways mm-hmm. and just get involved and show up week after week in our tiny house in the extreme chaos. there are a lot of kids in our group, and it is just sheer chaos. Oh, and we just kind of endured through that. And just studying the word and also just getting a good – Rooted is great. It is a great overview of mm-hmm. a lot of things that Jesus would want us to know about the church, using godly wisdom in life and just trying to live for him. I guess God's wisdom works whether you love him or not, mm. but it's like, it's the best when you fall in love with Jesus and also apply these biblical principles.
And engage with him daily.
Yes.
You know, spend time talking and listening and beyond just going to a weekly group.
Yes. I loved the prayer night. We did that on a separate night and just like had worship music on and just spent time with Jesus, and
a lot of people had never done that, and that's okay, but it's like, if you don't take that moment to create that in a curriculum even, like, then when would you?
Yep.
And then if you get the taste of it, you taste and see that it is good, then you're like, I want to do that again. or I want to show somebody else, and I want to, you know, that's where it really starts to get good.
Yeah, it's awesome. I feel so blessed by the group that God assembled there in our rooted group. Mm-hmm. Just great, just a great group of people, great people that just were invested in pursuing the Lord together. So then we got to the end of it, and we're like, well, we can stop, and I'm like happy to help you try to find mm-hmm. other groups or get invested elsewhere. But we had a pretty good consensus that, like, hey, let's just keep trucking. So we're kind of right now converting over to a life group and just seeing where Jesus takes it. But I feel like every week I'm like, I don't have anything profound to say, but if you're willing to show up, God, then
yeah.
let's go.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
I felt that way about most parts of my life. I'm like, mm-hmm. if you're going to go with me, God, then I'm on board. Mm-hmm. And if not, then let's not do this. Mm-hmm. Like, just please actually prevent me. Mm-hmm. Please don't let me go down yes. this path if you're not going. Because
like the Air Force, right? Like
yeah.
you kind of felt that yeah. way and you followed the obedience. Yeah.
Yeah. Life could have looked very different mm-hmm. than it ended up looking. And I'm so glad for where I'm at. I'm glad for Ashley and our kids and Grace Church and the mm-hmm. family we have here and even the career he's given me and the things. Because that was, I mean, we've talked about this at length already, but it's just, it was important to me. Mm-hmm. It was really important to me. And I don't want to, like, after the fact say, oh, that wasn't a really big deal. Because it is in the mm-hmm. moment. Like, I always really wanted a family. I always really mm-hmm. wanted that. And God delivered. It just took some patience, you yeah. know, yes. and all that patience. It's like James, where it's like, consider it pure joy when you mm-hmm. face trials of many kinds. Mm-hmm. It's perfecting us. Mm-hmm. It's making us more like him. And I have a super long way to go there. And I like, mm-hmm. think I'm just still, I'm like, why am I not more mature? I'm already, mm-hmm. you know, what I've been, mm-hmm. been walking with the Lord for a while, but he's just continues to work on me and I want mm-hmm. to be more like him. You know,
let's hope we never arrive. In our minds, because we sure. obviously we can't. So if we ever think, like, I am so grateful to hear those words coming out of your mouth, because if you sat here and you're like, and now I've checked every box and I'm going to go and people could just come and learn from me, like, I would be reporting, canceling this episode and reporting you up the flagpole. But for you to sit here and say, I have a long way to go, I can still mature, like, you know, the more you know God, the more you know that you don't know everything about God, right? And thank God for that, yeah. right? Thank God that we serve a God that we cannot fully understand.
Sure.
Or imagine or fathom. He's way bigger than everything. So there's constantly caverns to our left, to our right, ahead of us, behind us that we can explore with him. And he will take us on any journey that we're willing to go on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So I guess I look forward now and I think, you know, I'm so administrative and now I'm kind of in a more like shepherding role, mm-hmm. which I don't know if is my like greatest strong suit, but I'm like doing my best to try to lead a group well and love mm-hmm. people well and seeing how God's going to use that. And just, I don't know, looking at the leadership and how that works in small groups. And, you know, I know a lot about it in a career now, and I've grown up in different leadership roles in a church, but I'm like, how do you lead people well? It's probably the, how do you pastor people well? Maybe that's really, I feel like that's a weaker point in my skill set. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, how do we go from, I've done tons of administrative things mm-hmm. and helped run ministries and helped whatever with mm-hmm. Creative arts stuff. But I'm like, this is a very worthwhile task. Mm. You know, this isn't just did the parts come together? Does the music sound good? Are we removing distractions so people can see Jesus? Mm. Now it's like, how do I care for someone's heart? And that is,
complex.
Yeah, it's tricky and awesome. And so I'm just excited for where we're at now and where it'll take us, you know.
We gave you a great partner in it, in Ashley. She's
totally.
Amazing.
Yes.
And then also just thinking of the gifts of the people of your group. Like, somebody's got to be administrative, and that's okay if it's the leader. And somebody else can be, I think of Gary and I, when we would lead groups, we were like, we were rubbish at the care side of things. Like, we can bring people together. We have a great time. But you need a meal train set up or a baby shower thrown. We got the Cockers over here. We got to check in with them. They're going to run that part. And I don't need to, if you've ever taken Shape, I think, I don't know if they still say it, but this stuck with me when I learned that if you are right-handed, don't spend your life figuring out how to perfect your left-handed writing. Write with your right hand and find somebody who can write with the left hand and then go together if that's what you need to complement one another.
Yes.
So take your gifts, your skills, your intricate details that God created in you and use them and then let somebody else do theirs. So find that partner that could do those gaps that you feel insufficient in and don't feel bad about it at all.
I do think that is something God's taught me over time, is just the it's okay to not be good at a ton of things. Like, let's play to your strengths, kind of what you're saying. You know, if I know that I'm fairly good at administrative tasks, and like, let's go, let's do that. Yes. And if worship is a great outlet and a way I can serve the Lord, then let's practice and put in the hard work and try to get to the place where you're not a distraction, but you are just helping point people to Jesus, and you fade into the background.
Right.
That, what John the Baptist said is probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible. The, he must become greater and I must become less. It should be the anthem of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I have tons of pride and selfishness that I battle through every day.
Same.
But my hope is that on some level that I continue to say, Jesus must increase and I must decrease in every area of my life, and making sure that it, you know, I'm really trying to elevate him and let him lead the way that he wants to lead. Like, it does, my opinions and desires don't matter, right? It's like, it's what God wants out of life. That
I don't know if maybe you'll remember or not this sermon that Jeff talked about. We are God's masterpiece, right? Ephesians 2:10, I believe it is. And he talked about masterpiecing as a verb. Like, you are masterpiecing when you're playing drums, because he created that piece of his masterpiece in you. So if you were to, if somebody else robbed you of that gift, or if you tried to do something else, but it's like, here, you're masterpiecing, or when you're doing your administrative, or all these different ways that you are so uniquely made, that's when we're masterpiecing, and you can feel it in your body. Like, you're like, I am exactly in the will of God, and I'm doing what he made me to do, but I'm, like me, so not administrative. If I'm doing something like that, I'm in misery. Everybody around me is in misery, and it's not a good thing. So I could say, you know, I got this, because I can do anything. You know, I'm unlimited. Pride, right?
Sure.
But that's actually, by having somebody else step into that space, then I'm letting them masterpiece, and I'm robbing them of that if I try to do it myself, whether it's out of embarrassment or pride or whatever that might be. So highly encourage that. Like, yeah, live it up in your areas of gifting, and then find people who, and then just let them be the hero. Just say, you do that, please. I cheer for you, and we don't have to do it all.
Yeah, it's awesome. Sometimes when I'm like out, you know, attending service and not on the team, which is most of the time now, you know, I might play once a quarter or something at this point. But I also love that I'm like, my lack of availability is creating space for other people to get to love the Lord in this way and use the skills they've been given. And I also think, too, it's almost unfair. You talk about masterpiecing. I'm like, yeah, here I am up here using this gift that the Holy Spirit gave me. And, you know, you're like, it's an unfair advantage, but it's awesome, because that's what God's doing.
Yes.
He's given us all gifts, and we're all the body of Christ coming together
to be whole.
Honor him and love others. And so it's such an honor that we get to do this.
Yeah.
I just love it. And I think when life gets hard, and like it always does, and I feel like we're all, you ask people, how are you? We're just busy. But somewhere in the middle of all that, we have to like just choose to honor the Lord through it all and love him and give him the best of who we are. And it's okay. It's okay to be busy. Like, let's just love God through it, and hopefully take a step back occasionally and just thank him that we even get to be a part of. Like, I didn't have a church like this till I was in my mid-20s, and I love that we get to do this. I love that God has picked now and here for us to have this.
I'm a part of it.
Yeah, it's so cool.
What a gift. Well, since we're talking worship, did you bring a song to add to the Grace Unscripted Worship playlist, which listeners can find on Spotify? Just search Unscripted Worship on Spotify. What song do you want to add?
I thought of, there were so many songs I thought of, but I landed on this song called Obsession, which is by Delirious, and it came out quite some time ago when I wrote
it down.
Hold
on, hold on. Obsession by Delirious?
Obsession.
Obsession
is the name of the song.
Okay.
By Delirious. It came out in 1995.
Yes.
But there's not even a ton of lyrics to the song, but I wrote a few of them down because I was like, why am I picking this song? Mm. But I was thinking about some of the more difficult times of life, and then how we get to interact with God in that time, and even when things are great, kind of both. But it says there, sometimes you're further than the moon, sometimes you're closer than my skin. And I'm like, yeah, totally. Like, sometimes it feels like you're like,
closer than my skin.
I know, it's so funny. And then it, she says, I'm so filthy with my sin. I carry pride like a disease. And I'm like, yeah, that is me. That's totally me all the time. But it's okay because God, because we have God. And then the chorus, they just say, my heart burns for you over and over again. And I think that's just, as I've thought back through 40 or so years of walking with the Lord, whatever that looks like as a small child up to this point today, I'm like, yeah, I just, my heart burns for the Lord, and I just want to have this lifelong pursuit of God. And I'm not good at it. Mm. And I do carry, carry pride like a disease. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, totally. I will leave this room and be thinking of myself and what I want to do, and I will mess it up, and I will hurt my family, and I'll do all sorts of terrible things. And God will work through that and love us all and redeems all. Right, yes. He does. But in the end, I'm like, my heart burns to be with the Lord, and that is what's truly important. And He is capable of leading my family well without pride.
There you go.
He's and all this. I mean, I guess we could go through and apply that to every element of life, but He's capable, right? And so it's that pursuit of Him and just letting Him do His thing.
Well, I can tell you nobody's ever added that song to this list before, so thank you for dropping a deep cut track from the 90s.
Yep, a little old school. It's almost like, wow. Wow, 19 whatever. I don't think it was
Delirious.
On Wow.
Is this like Christian rock?
Yeah, they were like, what do they have? History Maker and I don't know. Yeah,
oh
they're
gosh.
Like.
I can't wait to go and listen to
They're like right in the Audio Adrenaline kind of that sort of Newsboys kind of stream.
When we started making it on the radio a little bit,
That's right. Radio, that's right.
So cool. Well, thanks for the deep cut. Thanks for sharing all of your story with us. Thanks for smiling through the whole thing, because that light and that energy just comes and it serves those around you. It serves those in your rooted group, at your workplace. I'm sure there's a whole world there that you get to share as well. So loved hearing your heart, and hopefully everybody at our church. Actually, I will say, if anybody listened to this story, connects in any way, we always like to share this. We have an email address, unscripted@graceohio.org. You can reach out to us. We can get you connected to Jason or anyone here at the church, because we'd love to journey through this with you. I mean, I feel like, again, this hall of faith, this everything that Jason got to experience over all this amount of time in his life, it's available for you. And we want that for you as well. So if that's something you're seeking, reach out and we can get you connected.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jason.